This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
So this is a 52-year-old male who was initially transferred from an outside hospital to our cardiac surgery service with a ruptured AAA. Now, a little bit of history about this guy. Initially, he had presented 6 weeks prior to an outside hospital with a ruptured thoracic aneurysm as a complication from a type B dissection. He underwent a open repair of this aneurysm under hypothermic circulatory arrest with a repair with a 24-millimeter graft that was sewn just distal to his right subclavian. He had an anomalous takeoff of his right subclavian with a Commerle's diverticulum. The graft was actually sewn just distal to this and with preservation of flow to his right arm. He had initially done pretty well and was actually discharged from that outside hospital and essentially presented to us 6 weeks later with shortness of breath, chest pain, and then he had an episode of massive hemoptysis. He was quickly intubated due to concern for airway protection. He got a lot of blood and was emergently transferred to us. When he arrived, he was hypotensive, intubated, and sedated. And as you can see here, let's see if I can see here. So right here was where he re-ruptured, which is actually right at the suture line where the graft was sewn at the level of the dilation of the right subclavian artery takeoff. And so these are just some more images of where it was ruptured right here. More images. And that's the takeoff of the right subclavian going behind the esophagus and the trachea. So I'm going to go back to this picture, which kind of demonstrates a common origin of the right and left carotid arteries. You can see here, this is the right subclavian coming posteriorly, and the takeoff is about right here, and then this is the left subclavian. And so I just wanted to open it up for discussion on what would be kind of the next step in people's minds.
I mean, I think I would do a right carotid subclavian bypass to eliminate the right subclavian from the circulation and then put a short graft to the distal to the left subclavian. Now, the patient has either an aortoesophageal or an aortobronchial fistula, so this would be temporizing just to get him stable and then proceed with some more definitive repair.
Any other suggestions? Anybody who thinks there is yet another endo approach without any modification of the branches? Dr. Schneider?
Yeah, so
I can't wait.
I agree with Bill that this is a temporizing maneuver to get this patient, you know, to survive and out of the operating room, but probably we'll have to have an open reconstruction subsequently for infection in the fistula. But the other alternative is to go up and to put a periscope into that subclavian and then just put a stent graft in there. And then when you do that open, you can take all that stuff out and do your arch reconstruction. But if you just have to do something quickly endo, that's something that you can do quickly endo without having to do an open surgical component.
So what was the next move?
All right, so next, to the slides. So we did a hybrid repair. We actually did a left carotid subclavian bypass and landed the stent graft at the takeoff of the bifid carotid origin right here, just distal to this. And then we put Amplatzer plugs in both the right and the left subclavian arteries. And he actually did fine from a revascularization of his arm standpoint. He didn't have any symptoms. This is our completion angiogram. The stent graft is sealed right here with no evidence of an endo leak. We've got good perfusion of his left subclavian, and there's Amplatzer plugs in place. And he went back up to the ICU. He was actually off all of his pressors. His blood pressure recovered nicely. But then the next morning, we noticed a significant drop in his hematocrit, which prompted us to repeat a CT scan for concern for something wasn't quite right. And so this is the CT scan. So you can see there's still a large type 1 endo leak. And so, and these are just some more slides showing the leak here and here. And that was kind of the reconstruction of.
So now what?
Yeah. So now what?
You, Bill?
Well, I would have done a different operation. Why do I need to take care of the complication? Anyhow, where's the endo leak coming from?
It's a type 1A endo leak.
Type 1A?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if the patient has survived all this, he probably should just go ahead and have surgical repair, unless he's, because otherwise you're going to have to debranch from the arch or do something similar to that. So, yeah. I'm glad he's up here north and not south.
Anybody else with suggestions as to what to do?
I think I'm with Bill here. I think that now it's time to tag you're it to the open surgeons.
So what was the next move?
So we weren't quite ready to give up. We decided to go with an arch debranching and employed the help of our cardiac surgeons who did a sternotomy and took an 8-millimeter graft from the ascending aorta to the left and right common carotid arteries and then put in a 45x20 CTAG with rapid pacing. So you can see here, this is our graft coming off the ascending aorta, landed just distal to this, and put him on lifelong antibiotics. And this is 1 month post-op. We've got a nice seal.
So do you know that this patient has a fistula? Have you?
He had a bronchoscopy at the time that he was admitted, and they couldn't find an origin.
Endoscopy to look at his aorta?
I mean, sorry, bronchoscopy.
His esophagus, rather, yeah.
Yeah, he had an endoscopy and a bronchoscopy and couldn't really find any source. But
I've had uniformly... Yeah. Horrific experiences with patients who had fistulas if you just did palliation and didn't do definitive treatment. They all ultimately die. It's just a question of when.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been my concern with the debranching and extending the endograft proximally, because if that all gets infected, then you really don't have any options. So prior to, you know, filling the entire arch with plastic, you do have some options to, like, do an ascending to abdominal aortic bypass and then take stuff out of the chest or homograft reconstructions and treat the fistula once the patient's been stabilized somewhat with the initial repair. But so I'm not sure the story's over here. But, I mean, these are really complex problems.
Yeah, I think everyone would agree that the infection's lurking in there, assuming that there actually is a fistula and you weren't misled by the source of bleeding, and that at some point it'll come back when, you know, someone will be on call and have to figure out how to deal with all this stuff.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.